You to Bowmansville Church for our worship and our service this morning. And for anyone visiting, a special welcome to you. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We invite the worship team to lead us in a time of worship together and singing.
Well, good morning. I just want to welcome you here as well as we worship the Lord. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Song, if you haven't already placed your offering in the lights up front here, you may do that. And this morning's offering is going for the retirement and adult care homes. And so I'm going to sing about the blood of Jesus on this next song. Are you washed in the blood?
Trusting in His grace.
sour are you washed in the blood of Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they?
Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for what you have provided us with, Lord. We turn these tithes and offerings over to you, Lord, as a gift to be used to spread the word in your kingdom, Lord. We pray that these offerings and tithes would go to the adult care homes and the retirement homes that take care of our elderly people, Lord, that they would be blessed and the caregivers that care for the people in these places would be blessed as well. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Okay, I did invite you to stand as we continue to sing about the power in the blood.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And we know because of the power in that blood that one day we can say that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Yeah, isn't it wonderful that we know, if we know Christ as our Savior, that we will go to heaven when we die? That's just awesome. Thank you.
his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's red sway. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to
I just want to proclaim God's faithfulness this morning. On Father's Day, I spoke here at church and just shared details about the surgery that I went through and just with my back and how it affected my leg. And I just want to proclaim that God is faithful. I am not fully healed, and I don't know. I trust Him for my healing, but I've come a long way, and I just want to proclaim His goodness and His faithfulness this morning.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. That I wait.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. Just, you are worthy of our praise no matter what happens, God. And just thank you that you can be trusted. Thank you that you care about us. And God, we just lift Carl to you this morning as he comes to speak what you've laid on his heart. God, just bless him. Help him to speak with boldness what you've given him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Behind me, we have some beautiful boxes with Christmas colors. Reminds us that the season is coming near. I'm going to call Valerie Mass forward to share more about this Samaritan Purse Project and the Christmas Box Program.
We have some wonderful boxes that have been lovingly filled by many people in our congregation. And the thing I find interesting is we don't know where they're going to go, but God knows where they need to go. And they're going to bless somebody. These people, these children that get them, some of them are going through very traumatic experiences in their country. And I'm hoping that these boxes that come from the Bowmansville Church, that the love of God would just pour out of that box and that it would be a blessing to these children, that it would be a life-changing experience for them to know that somebody cares for them across the ocean that did not even know who they were, but God knows who needs these. So I'm gonna, I've asked two girls to come and pray over these boxes, and I'm gonna pray also. We would love to have everyone come and lay their hands on these boxes, but due to COVID, we cannot do that this year, so we're gonna do it this way. And just pray from your hearts that God would use these boxes and use our love in a special way.
Dear God, I hope these will get where they need to be, and I hope whoever gets them will love them.
I hope they'll know themselves and God.
Lord, I just thank you for the many people in our congregation who have filled one of these boxes. Lord, you know where they need to go. You know which child needs one of these this year for Christmas. Many of them, this will be their only Christmas presents that they will get. And I just pray that you would send these to the children who need it most. And I pray as they open these boxes this year, Lord, that they would feel the love of people from across the ocean that have filled these with such love. Many of the people had so much fun filling these boxes, and I just pray that your love would overwhelm these houses, that they would feel your presence no matter what circumstances they are facing in each home. Thank you for the kindness of the people here at Bowmansville, and I just pray that they would be blessed and receive a blessing for their kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
We welcome Carl Edwards here this morning. You can come forward a while. Carl is, I'm not sure what his post is, administrator or at least heading up CrossNet Ministries in New Holland. He was born and raised in Baltimore and, as I understand, has some degrees from Lancaster Bible College in Bible and leadership. Has a passion for ministry to kids and youth. And a sports fan from Baltimore Ravens. You Pittsburgh Steeler fans, give him condolences after the service. He's married to his wife Mary and has two children. So the Lord bless you as you share about CrossNet and what the Lord has given to your heart.
Do you guys mind if I stand down here today? Is that right? I feel like up there I'm so far away from you all. I'm going to move this mic out of the way, too, if that's all right. Good morning, friends. Good morning. That's not bad for 10:30 in the morning. Good to see you all. It is. I was talking to the worship leaders this morning. I think it was a little over a year ago that I was with you, and I remember that time, and I could celebrate a little bit more about the Ravens then, but we did just lose to the Steelers, so I can't say anything about that. Yes, I serve at CrossNet Ministries. We serve the Elanco School District. I am their Director of Development and Operations. I have a beautiful bride named Mary. My wife is in full-time ministry as well. That is why she isn't here with us this morning. She serves as Director of Kid Ministry at our church, Gateway Church in Parksburg, Pennsylvania, and we have two crazy kids, a daughter who is 8, her name is Macklin, and a son who is 6, and I'm a blessed man. So I'm humbled that I get to spend some time with you today. I think I have this clicker on, and it is working. There we go. Before I preach, I wanted to just quickly share with you all just a quick ministry update from CrossNet. You all, Bowmansville Midnight, are amazing partners and financial supporters of who we are as CrossNet, so I didn't want to miss this opportunity just to give you a quick update about how your funds are being used and also talk about this interesting year that we are living in, right? As you know, CrossNet Ministries, we exist to offer help and hope in the name of Jesus by empowering people within the Elanco community. That is a twofold mission. We seek to provide resources to help people who have low resources live sustainable lives, and then we also seek to build relationships that point people to the person of Jesus Christ. That is why we exist. We have programs in the area of youth, food and nutrition, community, and social services. Like all of you, I'm sure, COVID-19 has caused us to tweak some things, right? It's caused us to change some things. The language we use at CrossNet, we've had to take a lot of ministry pivots. We have to be creative and innovative in how we've run our programs. During the course of COVID, we weren't allowing people to come into our food pantry and shop. We were packing boxes and bags for everyone and kind of doing drive-through style meals. Our youth center, a major piece of our organization, we had to close our youth program down, and then eventually when we moved into green, we were able to do some things outdoors. The community meal is something that we do the fourth Monday night of every month. It's an amazing event. We partner with Garden Spot Village, and that meal has become a drive-through style meal, serving close to 350 meals every Monday. So God has been extremely faithful. I love the song that we ended in singing. He's been extremely faithful. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of whatever has been going on, we have stayed open. We have been able to function and to operate, and I'm humbled and excited to share with you that a lot of our programs are up and running now. They look a little bit different with social distancing, with mask and all of those things, but they are up and running. From the bottom of my heart and also from our organization, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your partnership. We are extremely grateful for your support, and we would also ask that you continue to pray for CrossNet. Continue to pray for those that we serve. Continue to pray for our staff. Some of you, as I'm sharing, might be thinking, hey, what are your needs? What are some of the opportunities that you have going on? I wanted to share just a couple of with you, but also when you leave, whatever door you leave, I do have some brochures and some other pamphlets for you. If you have any other questions about CrossNet or want to contact us for any reason, you are welcome to grab a brochure and some other information. A couple of ministry opportunities and a couple of the needs we have right now, we are looking for mentors. I'm sure you all know what that word means, but really our mentor program is a one-on-one pairing of a safe adult and a child or a young adult in our community, and they kind of journey through life together. They spend time together twice a month, whether that's talking, going out to eat, playing basketball, whatever that is. So we have a long waiting list of students and young adults that are looking for mentors. So if you're ever interested or God's tugging at your heart to invest in someone's life, maybe that is an opportunity for you. We are also looking for sponsors for our Christmas Child program. We have a Christmas gift giveaway that we do every year where we pair up families or individuals with children in our community to help provide Christmas. So we're looking for sponsorships there. Also, the Extra Give is coming up this Friday on November 20th. This is a large fundraising event for CrossNet. I have some information at the doors for you if you would like to learn more. But again, I just wanted to say thank you before I preach, before we get into God's Word this morning, just to say thank you for your generosity. And also, if you have not ventured down to Franklin Street, New Holland, please come say hello to me. I'm there Monday through Friday. I would love to give you a tour and show you around the facility so you all can see some of the programs where your dollars affect and influence and invest into others. So can I pray for us this morning, and then we can hop into God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning with mission and purpose. Lord, we first love you because you loved us. And out of that love, we get to love each other. We get to love others. We get to love our neighbor, even those that are different than us. So God, I am asking that you use this message, that we would be challenged to change, that we would be different from when we came in this morning. Use me as a vessel for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, we are going to be in the book of John this morning, John chapter 11. John is one of my favorite books. I am in a Bible study on Zoom with some of my friends in North Carolina, and this is the book of the Bible that we are slowly working through, the book of John. Let me tell you a quick story. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was playing basketball. I played basketball a long time ago at LBC, so I was trying to like relive the glory days, right? I was in the youth center at CrossNet. I was backing a kid down in the post, and I made a pivot, and I heard something pop. You guys know that I'm talking about, that pop? It's not a good pop, not a good sound. Soon, I found out that I tore my Achilles. Not a fun injury. I also left out a quick detail. This was my first night at CrossNet Youth Center. I moved my family from Maryland 4.5 years ago, started my job in the youth center. My first night on the job, trying to relive the glory days playing basketball, I tore my Achilles. Super embarrassing, right, in front of all these kids. So what ensued after that was a surgery about 3 days later, months and months of sitting on my bottom in a chair, multiple casts, two hard casts and then an air cast, and then grueling physical therapy to get me back to where I was. It was over a year before I could run again. I don't like to run anyway, I'm a big dude, but it was a year before I could run. It was a year before I could play basketball again. In the midst of all of that, I struggled. I wrestled, right? Like I told you, I just moved my family, right? I was so excited to start this new job, this new ministry opportunity, and I can't do anything. I have to sit still. I was frustrated. I was angry. To be honest with you, I was angry at God. And I asked him why so many times. I would tell you, if you look at the sermon title, I was in a moment of suffering. I mean, suffering for what I thought was suffering, right? not suffering like some of us have experienced, but I was in this moment of suffering, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So let me just give you a quick recap of John chapter 11. We're going to specifically be looking at verses 38 through 45, but let me just give you a quick rundown of some of the context we see earlier in chapter 11. In verses 1 to 3, we find out that a friend of Jesus was very sick. His name was Lazarus. In verse 6, we see that Jesus learns of this news, but instead of going directly to Lazarus, he stayed where he was for a period of time. In verses 21 and 32, we hear this iconic phrase that we know, those of us who grew up in the church, Mary and Martha say to Jesus, "If only you had been here," right? "If only you had been here, this wouldn't have happened." In verse 33 and 38, we see something fascinating. It is Jesus being frustrated. I think it's fascinating when Jesus is frustrated, because that's not the Jesus that we all know, right? It's not the Jesus that we hear about, but I think as we talk this morning, we will see the significance of that frustration. We have some characters in our story today. We have Mary. Mary is one of our characters. Mary is commended for her personal worship style. She was a contemplative worshiper. This is the same exact Mary that we learn in this text that poured out the expensive perfume onto the feet of Jesus. We also have Martha, her sister, right? Martha is a little bit of a perfectionist. My wife is a Martha. Don't tell her I said that. A little bit of a perfectionist, extremely hard worker, and we believe and we think she has this gift of hospitality. All the times we hear about Martha, we know that she is working in this area of hospitality to care for other people very well. Then we have Lazarus. We have the brother of Mary and Martha, and this is Lazarus, not to be confused with the beggar that we know from Luke chapter 16. And then we have Jesus. We know who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. But important to this story, Jesus is a friend of Lazarus. He's a friend of Lazarus. So let's pick up our story in verse 38. I'm going to read that for us all the way to 45. Verse 38, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus said to them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be terrible." Verse 40, Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that when you see God's glory, you will see God's glory if you would only believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to the heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said this out loud for the sake of all those standing here so that they would believe you sent me." Verse 44, then the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes and his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Many people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw what happened. Phenomenal story. Again, a story that many of us all know. And if I can be honest with you, as we read this text, there's a lot of different places, right? There's a lot of different places we could go with this message. We could look at the difference of believing and knowing, and we can talk about Martha, that there's this contrast between actually believing in Jesus and knowing who he is. We could look at the parallel between Lazarus and sinners dead in their sin and the power of God that breathes new life, that brings sinners out of this place of death. We could look at how frustrated Lazarus probably was to be snatched out of heaven to go back and hang out with his sisters, right? We could probably look at that too. Or if we continue to read in this chapter, in verses 46 and later, we can even call out the Pharisees for their lack of belief, because this is that moment where they began to scheme and plot the death of Jesus. There's so many directions that we could go in our message today, but if you look at our title again, you will see we're going to go somewhere different. It is a topic, a subject that often in maybe middle-class Christianity that we try to avoid. We don't like to talk about suffering. Suffering is hard. The dictionary says we know that suffering is the state of undergoing pain or distress or hardship. That's not a fun message. That's not a fun thing to talk about at the family dinner table. We all experience it. My friends, I promise if I stopped preaching, if I sat down and I began to call you up one by one and give you the microphone, and then we all began to tell our testimonies or our stories of suffering, how long do you think we'd be here? Till tomorrow? What's that?
Next month,
right? It's right? Like, it's true. We all experience it. This isn't something new. Suffering is not new. My friends, the dilemma of suffering is inherent all throughout Scripture. Suffering is everywhere. This isn't, the Bible talks about that. We are going to encounter, as Christ followers, we will encounter suffering because who encountered it? Jesus encountered it, right? Joseph was abused. David, because of a lot of his own choices, right, his own decisions, experienced significant consequences to them. Paul, do I need to list Paul's? Paul experienced suffering. And as we look at our text this morning, Mary, Martha, and Jesus experienced a specific type of suffering, the death of a loved one, right? So they're walking through this trauma, they're walking through this place of grief. The dilemma of suffering is inherent all throughout Scripture. So what I want to do for us today is highlight just some of the major points in this passage. Let's walk through verse 38. Jesus was frustrated. We see that, right? Jesus was still angry as he arrived to the tomb. Why is that? What do we believe? What is that reason? Commentators say part of that is because of the lack of faith displayed by Mary, Martha, and maybe some of the other disciples that were around him. And I understand that. I can wrestle with that a little bit because Jesus said, you guys know me. You spend time with me. You've seen all of my signs, all of my wonders, and yet you doubt. You still are lacking this faith. Verse 39 and 40, Jesus gives a command, right? Jesus says the command to roll the stone aside. But again, we know Martha, right? Perfectionist. She pushes back at Jesus, the audacity. She pushes back at him, and she says, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be terrible. And then I love this other line. Jesus responds to her in verse 40 and says, didn't I tell you? Can anyone hear their mom or their grandmother? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Didn't I tell you? I can picture Jesus kind of with this finger wag, right? That's how my grandma used to do it. Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Remember, there's a difference between knowing who Jesus is and believing in him and his power. As we keep going, verse 42, Jesus prays this beautiful prayer, and he says he prays it out loud for a reason, and there's significance here. The purpose of this prayer was to create faith in the hearts of the people around the tomb, the bystanders, the friends and the family of Lazarus. And we see the result of this, right? We see the result of this prayer. We see the result of this miraculous sign, that this miracle that Jesus did in verse 45. Lazarus raises from the dead. He comes out of the tomb. In verse 45, revival legitimately takes place in the streets. Many people believed in Jesus when they saw what happened. My friends, this is such a rich text. It is such a rich text. But what I want to talk about this morning are two commands that Jesus gives the people around the tomb. And you guys already know this. You see them in the text, and they're on the screen for you. Jesus gives two commands to the bystanders, to Mary and Martha, to the friends and the family around the tomb. In verse 39, he says, roll the stone aside. In verse 44, he says, unwrap him and let him go. Verse 39, this is a tomb where the stone was rolled in front of it, similar to the tomb that Jesus was buried in. He said, unwrap him and let him go. I know I'm not the only person. I think I said this to you. I was here last year. I process and understand Scripture better by asking questions. I don't know about you. Just try to wrestle through questions. Tell me I'm not the only person that really pondered, and how did Lazarus come out if he was wrapped up? I see someone smiling. You thought of that as well. How did he come out if he was wrapped up? I don't know. Did he hover? Float? I don't know. That's weird. I know. Sorry. Why is this important? Why is this important? I believe there's significance to these two commands that Jesus gives. And the reason is Jesus engages his audience, he engages the family, he engages the friends, he engages Mary and Martha in this resurrection process. No, they did not raise Lazarus from the dead. No, they do not have the power to do that. It wasn't necessary for Jesus to even involve them in the process, but he did. He gave them a task. He told them to roll the stone aside. He told them to unwrap him and let him go. The jobs that Jesus gave were messy, right? They were smelly. Remember what Martha said. What did she say? Lord, he has been dead for how many days? How many? Four. One study says 24 to 72 hours after death, the internal organs begin to decompose. So she was right, right? It was smelly. It was gross. It was messy. He had been dead for 4 days. So this decomposition process had already been going on. My friends, the significance here to these two commands that Jesus gives is that Jesus, that God is actually calling you and I to engage, to step in to death and darkness, to share and show the love of Jesus Christ. My friends, as we engage in this idea of suffering, right, as we think about being here for a whole entire month, listening to people's hardships, their testimonies, and their stories, oftentimes we run away from that stuff. But it's actually the exact opposite where Christ can be manifest. God is calling you, God is calling me to step into the death and the darkness, the messiness of people's lives so that we can share and show the love of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? We are in the midst of this story where there is significant trauma, there is significant grief, there are people probably crying and wailing, there's obviously frustration on the side of Mary and Martha, there's obviously frustration on the side of Jesus, and Jesus does this. He tells them to move the stone and to undress him. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like Jesus was saying, do you smell that? Do you see that? It is my power. I breathe life into dead things. I am the God of second chances. I take dry, dead bones and I make them dance. I made that happen. It is in the midst of the stench. It is in the midst of the chaos. It is in the midst of the brokenness. It is in the midst of the suffering that Jesus is present. And it is often when Jesus does his best work, when we allow him to step in. My friends, we all believe that suffering is all around us, right? Trauma is all around us. Abuse is all around us. And yet, you and I are told to be a city on a hill. That is so crazy to me. You and I are supposed to be this beacon of hope, this beacon of light, where the dark and lost world go to find refuge, to find medicine, to find healing. You and I, as people who follow Jesus, have this amazing and humbling opportunity to step in, and we have a responsibility to step in. And if you're like me, you are probably listening to this message, and you are thinking to yourself, Carl, why in the world would I step into the messiness of someone else's life? Why would I even do that when I have my own stuff going on? Remember, if I gave you this podium, you could probably continue to share of hardships and suffering. So why in the world would I step into someone else's mess when I have my own stuff going on? I get it. I understand. I wrestle with it as well, but this is why we go to God's Word, right? I am preaching to myself this morning. I'm talking to myself. But I will tell you that the goal is actually found in verse 45. Look at verse 45 again with me. This is why Jesus gives us the task. This is why Jesus gave those bystanders the task, and is this reason. Many people who were with Mary believed in Jesus after they saw what happened. The reason we step in is so that many can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the reason that we walk through suffering as individuals, right? That's the reason we go through suffering. That is also the reason we come alongside of others who are experiencing suffering. The purpose, the goal is that when others look at our lives, we are a witness of Jesus because of what we are gone through. Does that make sense? Does that connect? I told you that I sat on my bottom for weeks, for months, recovering from this injury that was frustrating. I couldn't play basketball, a sport that I really love to play. But my friends, can I tell you, as I look back at that, God used that time. My friends, you wouldn't imagine how many conversations I had with students, how much life change I had with students, how many people came to know Jesus because I couldn't play basketball, because I had to sit and be intentional to build relationships, to foster relationships, to develop relationships. God had me go through this season, this journey of what I would call suffering, right, for me, so that he can be glorified and that people can come to a saving knowledge of him. It's humbling when you think through it. And I promise you, I understand. I know that it is way easier said than done. I understand that when you are amidst of that frustrating season, that time of suffering, the brokenness that our world is even experiencing now, it's easier said than done. But can we lean into the vine? Can we lean into Jesus to understand and know the celebration that can come from it? So why do we step into the messiness of people's lives? Because we don't often know the fruit that can come from it when we do. When we come alongside of individuals who are hurting, who are frustrated, who are sad, we don't often know the fruit and the life change that can come from it. So let me begin to just wrap up with a couple of things. So how do we respond to those who are suffering? I want to give some tangible action steps to suffering. We need to understand this. People who are suffering, I'm sure as you think about even this word, if it's not your own name, you can find someone, a friend, a family member, a coworker, who you would say is in a season of suffering, of hurting. We need to understand that people who are in suffering need community. Community is extremely powerful. That's what the church is, right? A body, a family, a community to carry burdens and to carry hardships. People who are suffering need community. So how did you and I respond to those who are in suffering? I worked at a shoe store called Converse. I don't know if you guys know what Converse shoe store is. They were down at Tanger Outlets. I worked there for a few years, and it was just like a part-time job, like on the weekends, and it was really easy, different from what I did with Cross, and I just sold people shoes. What color do you want? What size do you wear? Here you are, and they would buy them, and they'd leave the store. But one of the things that Converse had that I don't think they even realized the profoundness of it was they had something that they called customer service ethos. And really what that is a list of values that we as an employees were supposed to live out as we interacted with customers as they came to the store, right? Customer service ethos. So I worked through these customer service ethos. I memorized them. We had to talk about them in employee meetings. And I believe that I'm going to show you them, are how you and I as Christ followers can actually respond to those who are hurting. Let's walk through these. These are some things you can write down if you want to. So our response, how do you and I respond to those who are suffering? The first one is this: listen to learn. And you can understand how this makes sense in the retail world, right? We're supposed to listen to the consumer, the customer, so that we know what they need. But for us as Christ followers and those who are suffering, we need to do this as well. Listen to learn. Oftentimes when you and I listen in our friendships, our relationships, we listen to fix. I do this in my marriage all the time. I fail at this. My wife is telling me something about her day or her experience at work, and all I'm doing is processing it so that I can fix it for her. That's not what she wants me to do. What she wants me to do is hear her, right? To listen to what she is saying. The same applies as we are walking with people who are suffering. Hear them. Listen to them. It also doesn't mean, listen to learn does not mean listening to share your own experience. I think all of us probably know that person we call them a one-upper, right? Whenever you're sharing a story, they have to share a story that outdoes your story. We do this when we work with people or we respond to people who are suffering as well. Listen to learn. Listen to hear the hurt. I think last time I was with you, I shared the phrase from, I think it's Romans 15, weep with those who weep. That same exact context here. Number two of Converse service ethos, make it personal. Make it personal. And really what I mean by this is how we can respond to those who are suffering is maybe ask yourself, how can I advocate for this person? How can I advocate for them? How can I, after I've listened to them, have I processed, after I sat with, after I've cried and I've wept, is there something that I can do to advocate for them, to work with them? Number three, make their day. Make their day. And what I mean by this is be fully present. Be fully present with them. I think I said this to you a year ago, but my wife's love language is quality time. She doesn't care about the gifts that I give her or like a note that I leave. She wants quality time, my presence. The presence together is so important. So when someone is suffering, showing up is crucial and being present with them. Number four, and sometimes the hardest, show them love. Show them love. And this is probably hardest for people that we believe that they are living the consequences of their own decisions, right? It's hard to show love unconditionally. But my friends, as Christ followers, we understand and we believe that because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of how Jesus views us, we are therefore supposed to live out that same exact love to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family members. Listen to learn. Make it personal, make their day, and show them love. Simple action steps that you and I can live out, that we can flesh out to show people who are suffering the love of Christ. Christians, those of us who follow Jesus, we must not dodge the suffering of our world. I'm guilty of this often, even in my role at CrossNet. The phone calls that we receive, the stories that we hear from people. I can easily turn my back, but my friends, we cannot dodge the suffering of the world. We are often called to be, in a way, first responders to the hurts and to the needs, rescue workers. We know that first responders are those that often run in when other people are running out. We cannot be that way when it comes to those who are suffering. That means we are called to go into places of darkness, often places of death, because Jesus went there. Jesus went there himself, so we are to replicate it. My friends, I also don't want you to leave this morning and to think that this is a gloom and doom message, because I hope you're not processing it that way. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the message of Jesus. This should challenge us to grow in how we love people and how we respond to people. Because the goal, as we journey through suffering, is so that many people are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we believe that people who are in suffering need community. So therefore, we believe experiencing community is not about running or avoiding suffering, but it is understanding God is calling you, he is calling me, to step into death and the darkness of the world, to share and to show the love of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's the mission, the opportunity, the obligation, the responsibility that you and I have to the world is to share and to show the love of Jesus Christ. My friends, be encouraged, be challenged. As we leave this place this morning, as we go into our weeks, may we not miss opportunities. Maybe not walk away from opportunities to care for our neighbors well. May we look past the surface level and actually ask questions to engage in tough conversations so that Jesus' name can be proclaimed. Can I pray for us? Can I do that? Heavenly Father, humbled, so humbled to be able to open your word and the freedom that we have to do that this morning. God, I don't know why you ask us to do some of these challenging things. But God, I am praying that we are willing to be bold and to take that step and to go to places that are sometimes messy and to sometimes go places that can be a little bit dark. And the hope is that we as people who love you and follow Jesus can be lights in those places. That we would listen to learn from our neighbors, that we would make their day, that we would make things personal, we would advocate for them. But more importantly, Jesus, that we would love them unconditionally because of the way you love us and the way that you love the church and because you gave yourself up for the church. So God, as we go from this place, Lord, I pray that we are intentional, that we can even be thinking of someone right now that we can come alongside of and encourage. Or Lord, maybe there is someone or many in this church that are experiencing what they would call suffering, that they are working through a hardship. I pray that Bowmanville Mennonite would be a church that is known for how they care for people, how they love their people well. Father, we dedicate this time to you. We give it over to you that we will be challenged to change. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand for this closing song.
For closing, I want to read from number 750 in the Mennonite hymnal, this closing prayer. Listen to the meaning of these words and the challenge. Father, as we go to our homes and our work this coming week, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit into our lives. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us in the things that happen to us and the people we meet. Open our eyes to see the needs of the people around us. Open our hands to do our work well, to help when help is needed. Open our lips to tell others the good news of Jesus. Bring comfort, happiness, and laughter to other people. Open our minds to discover new truth about you and the world. Open our hearts to love you and our fellow men as you have loved us in Jesus. To him with you, our Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, all honor and praise be given now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.